I'm Rob Daly. Welcome to Match Day Live. After another night of high-octane action, we have the first of our finalists in this season's UEFA Champions League. Monaco asked plenty of questions, but Juve made it black and white, sealing the tie in emphatic fashion.
It comes to Dani Alves! Oh, it's absolutely magnificent! 25 metres on the volley, and he has crashed it into the back of the net. It's brilliant from Dani Alves.
Could this be the year that Gigi Buffon finally gets his hands on the UEFA Champions League trophy? Wednesday evening sees the climax of the second semi-final, and it's another Spanish derby with Atletico Madrid hosting Real Madrid.
Casemiro leads it to Cristiano Ronaldo. It's another hat-trick. It's another brilliant performance from the Portuguese. Real Madrid 3, Atletico Madrid 0.
So stay tuned for a full preview of Wednesday's semi-final second leg in Madrid, plus comprehensive analysis of tonight's clash in Turin, all coming up right here on Match Day Live. Well, after another absorbing night in the UEFA Champions League, a semi-final, second leg to remember, at the Juventus Stadium, it was won by Juventus, 2-1. Let's hear how the match in Turin played out. Commentary from Match Day Live's John Bradley.
And it's Higuain on his right foot, and he's in here. This could be the moment. Higuain's chip, it's beaten the goalkeeper, and it's hooked away off the line brilliantly by Kamil Glick. Now Chiellini once again. Dybala takes over, looking for Higuain, little step, control. Mandzukic, right foot, wonderful save. Absolutely brilliant stop by the goalkeeper. Out to the right-hand side, the ball goes to Dani Alves. There's the cross, wonderful header. Follow-up, Mario Mandzukic, denied at the first attempt, not at the second. It's a third goal of the tie for Juventus. They could be on their way to Cardiff now. More defending to do as the corner comes in and Subasic comes and gets it away. It comes to Dani Alves! Oh, it's absolutely magnificent! 25 metres on the volley, and he has crashed it into the back of the net. It's brilliant from Dani Alves. Bernardo Silva, Moutinho, man pulls off deep, ball goes across goal, and Monaco have a goal back, and Kylian Mbappe has scored again. And Juventus are in the UEFA Champions League final. The finalists of 2015, the runners-up of 2015, will have a chance to put that right in 2017 in Cardiff, because it's finished Juventus 2, Monaco 1. Juventus win 4-1 on aggregate.
Of course, that was the way it stayed. Alongside me, Rob Daly, on Match Day Live, is European football expert Andy Brassel, and our commentator for the game, John Bradley. John, do Juve deserve their place in the final?
Absolutely, Rob. It was a scintillating performance, really, on the night. They didn't start too brightly and lost Sami Khedira to a hamstring injury early on. But once they got the goal, they created chance after chance. And Daniel Subasic in the Monaco goal really did keep the score down. Higuain, Dybala, Mandzukic all had really good chances. And once Mandzukic had put them in front, and we'd seen that wonderful goal. I mean, a magnificent goal from Dani Alves. It really was plain sailing in the second half for them, and they cruised to Cardiff in the end.
Nice goal for Kylian Mbappe, the end of his season in this competition, Andy Brassel, but my word, what a campaign for the striker.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. And I think the notable thing about him is ever since the point where he made his full UEFA Champions League debut in the away leg against Manchester City and scored, of course, it looked as if he'd been there forever. It's hard to remember a point almost where he wasn't part of the UEFA Champions League. He's just taken to it like a duck to water. And he absolutely deserved that goal tonight. Of course, what a difference it might have made if Gianluigi Buffon hadn't made that save from him in the first 20 minutes of the first leg. But we'll be seeing a lot more of him in this competition, and I'm really looking forward to it.
OK, well, let's focus on Juventus first. The goal they did concede was the first they'd let in 687 minutes of UEFA Champions League football, the second longest defensive run in history. John, is Juve's defence their greatest strength?
Well, I think that what they've got is a great goalkeeper, a great defence, a pretty decent midfield and a pretty potent strike line, so that the whole package works for them. They lost Khedira tonight to injury, but it didn't affect them in the slightest. It's Claudio Marchisio, who was so outstanding in the first game in the Stade Louis Doux, came on, and it was a seamless transition there. They paid big money for Higuain to come and fire them the goals to add to that resilient, organised backline that has worked so well for them for years. And this year, Juventus will feel they will never have a better chance of winning the UEFA Champions League than this season, because everything has just slotted into place for them perfectly.
And it's been slow, gradual process, hasn't it? It hasn't been one big summer where they've signed a load of players. This has been building ever since, what, the start of the Antonio Conte era as head coach.
That's absolutely right, Rob. And they've been forced, I think, since 2015 to rebuild straight away, because if you think they lost Pirlo, they lost Tevez straight away, and Vidal, and that made an absolutely huge difference. So to reconstitute that midfield and just really change the shape of the team, which is something Max Allegri has done more finely in the last couple of months even. And, you know, to move to that 4-2-3-1, to switch to three at the back for the first leg in Monaco, just shows the adaptability that he has, the trust and faith that he has in those players. And the fact that he can ask those players to perform different roles and they respond to him and they know how to respond to him at the very highest level, because I think you can underrate just how good Juventus were in these two semi-final legs. I think the performances that Monaco put in would have beaten 90% of UEFA Champions League competitors. But this isn't just the semi-finals. This is an exceptionally strong semi-final lineup, in my opinion.
Monaco have become the first team to score 3+ goals in 4 successive UEFA Champions League knockout ties against Manchester City and Borussia Dortmund. I mean, two huge clubs, and they swept them aside, and they were the irresistible force. But Juventus are the immovable object, and that was the problem for them. And Bonucci and Chiellini, and interestingly, going back to a three at the back with Barzagli, just worked so well. And I think that 2 years ago when they went to Berlin, they weren't seen as contenders, even in a two-team game, you know, two-horse race against Barcelona. This year, they will very much, I mean, they could even go into the final, no matter who it's against, as the favourites.
At the point that Monaco were 2-0 down, they had to score 4 times. Last time Juve conceded 4 in Europe, it was at the hands of Fulham back in 2010 in the UEFA Europa League. But it never really looked like happening. And the Bianconeri are 23 games unbeaten at home in Europe as well. Do you see a different psychological side to this Juve team now?
I think what they have is, they obviously have what was drummed into them by Massimo Carrera and Antonio Conte, as the two of those work together. And of course, both of them are about to win championships as coaches of respective clubs now. And then Allegri comes in and not universally welcomed, I think it's fair to say, when he did, but they've taken his message on board. And only 3 of those who started tonight started the final 2 years ago. So there's been an amazing turnover of players as well. And to get it all gelled so quickly, it's worked really well for them, hasn't it?
Does Allegri deserve the majority of the credit for that? Because he was the guy who led them to the 2015 final, and mainly he was rolling on the back of the Conte side. Does he deserve most of the credit for what's happened?
Yeah, he deserves enormous credit. He deserved enormous credit back in 2015 for changing a side that couldn't get past the first round.
Conte couldn't do that, could he? He got them
to the quarterfinals the year before, but in the year he left them, of course, they went out in that final group stage match at Galatasaray. But I think to get them to that point was incredible, while still winning the league. They didn't neglect any of their business at home. But you think of great coaches as not just coaches who build great sides, but who rebuild great sides, who build a series of great sides. Now, he's built, arguably 3 great sides in 3 seasons. That's an astonishing effort. If you go back to the start of the season, and if you look again, as John was saying about 2015, no Tevez now, no Pogba, no Pirlo, no Vidal. And, you know, what they have got, though, is Chiellini back at his best, which he wasn't in 2015, which I think is an enormous difference. And you can talk about Dybala, who's a huge asset. You can talk about Higuain, who has weighed in, especially in the first leg of the semi-final. But Chiellini coming back to his best, I think, is absolutely vital.
Juventus aren't measured by what they achieve in Italy. They're about to win a sixth straight title. And what they've done over the past few seasons is that they've picked off the best player from their rivals. They've done it with Miralem Pjanic. They did it with Gonzalo Higuain. So they're not measured about what they achieve at home, because if you are at Juventus, you are expected to win Serie A every season.
So this
now.
Is the indicator.
So
now,
this is the indicator of the progress that the club is making. And Allegri has taken them to two finals in three seasons. They were never, and I don't feel as though I'm talking out of turn here, but no one expected them to win 2015. Barcelona were almost sewn on to, you know, nailed on to win that before the game. This year is different. They really go into this with as good a chance to win this as they ever will have. That they're an outstanding team this year.
The Juventus Twitter account, by the way, has posted some pictures of the team celebrating in the team dressing room. Brilliant images of Gonzalo Higuain alongside Dybala. Dani Alves, shirt off, of course, like he was after scoring. They look like they're really enjoying themselves in the dressing room. And it could be a huge, 8 days for Juventus now, because they could wrap up potentially two pieces of silverware before we get to the final in Cardiff.
Yes, they could. And it's going to be a huge Coppa Italia final against one of the overachievers of the season, who we'll see in the UEFA Europa League next season in Lazio, and Simone Inzaghi, who's again one of the star coaches in Italy this season. And yes, you would expect them to seal Serie A as well. So, you know, they're going to go in with the possibility of winning the treble, which is not a common occurrence in Italian football. And they're really pulling Italian football back into prominence in the European game almost single-handedly at the moment.
OK, let's talk about Monaco very briefly. Fabulous run to the semi-finals. Lots and lots of goals along the way. First of all, Andy, you don't expect this result going out to derail their Liga ambitions?
No, I don't. I mean, they're very close. A win should do it. 4 points would do it mathematically. They could win it as soon as Saturday. So I think any sorrow and disappointment they feel over this, they'll be able to perspectivise quite quickly, because they know that it's still been an absolutely outstanding season. And, you know, they deserve all the credit that's going to go their way. As John was saying, they've contributed so much to the UEFA Champions League, and it has been a long road. We can talk about them being a young side. Well, they've needed that energy. They've needed those legs, because they started back in July in the third qualifying round with an absolutely enormous tie against a very well-backed side and a very good side in Fenerbahce. So they came through the hard way, and, you know, they've really deserved this. You know, from when they beat Villarreal in the playoff round, that very difficult group stage, when, as Kylian Mbappe put it to me a week and a half ago, well, it was four very evenly matched teams. I mean, they have had to fight and scrap and battle every step of the way, and I just think it's all credit to Juventus that they could beat them so comprehensively.
Okay, let's have three players that have really stood out for Monaco in the UEFA Champions League this season, even players. I'm sure that Mbappe would make that shortlist for you, John.
Well, Mbappe really has come to life in the knockout phase, hasn't he, I think Benjamin Mondi has got to be one. He came back tonight, and of course, the problem was is that Nabil Dira pulled up lame in the warm-up, and Mondi had to be pulled back into action, perhaps ahead of schedule, and, you know, he had missed the first leg and missed the weekend and was a little out of sorts, but I think he's done himself no harm. I think Bernardo Silva is almost impossible to get the ball off at times, so he's come up out of it with massive credit as well. And I think Bakayoko as well. I think there'll be a lot of clubs who want to take Timoue Bakayoko.
Has John missed anyone, Andy?
Yeah, I think you've got to take both fullbacks. I think you've got to take Djibril Sidibé and Benjamin Mendy, both of whom were new signings in the summer. And it was meant to shore up the defence, but they've revolutionised the attack as well. They've made an enormous difference.
OK, gents, get thinking about your man of the match. Juve 2, Monaco 1. The final score 4-1, the aggregate victory for the Bianconeri. Don't forget to join us on Saturday, the 3rd of June. Put it in the diary for all the build-up and for live commentary of the final in Cardiff. We'll be on air from 19:30 Central European Time right here on Match Day Live. Coming up next on the show, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday's other semi-final second leg between Atletico and Real Madrid.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nem til racismo.
Não ao racismo.
antirracismo.
Não ao racismo.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with me, Rob Daly. Let's concentrate on Wednesday's semi-final second leg now between Atletico and Real Madrid. The European champions head into the fixture 3 goals up and very much on the hunt for a spot in the final to make it their third in the last 4 years. Absolutely incredible. Our commentator for the match at the Vicente Calderon is Adam Summerton. Adam, thank you very much for joining us so late in the evening. Are Real Madrid huge, huge favourites now to make the final and join Juventus?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Atletico are looking to do something that would be unprecedented. No side's ever come back from even a 2-goal first leg, a deficit in the UEFA Champions League. So clearly they have it all to do. Real Madrid are massive favourites to meet Juventus in Cardiff. But, you know, Atletico have got to cling to hope, and they do have players who are capable of scoring. I think that the problem clearly is going to be stopping Real Madrid scoring, because they've gone 60 games now where they've managed to score in every single one. So I don't doubt Atletico have the weapons to score. I do doubt whether they can keep them out at the other end.
That is the problem, really, isn't it, Adam? Because you think about that tide of attacking talent, if they could really get it going, Atletico Madrid. But, you know, you're talking about the best counter-attacking side in the world, and not just because of the scoreline, but because Atletico haven't got an away goal, Real Madrid have got them exactly where they want them, don't they?
Absolutely. It's why they're in total control of this tie. And, you know, Diego Simeone can only try and speak positively, which is what he's tried to do today. And they'll want to make the most of the fact that this could possibly be the last time that they will play at the Vicente Calderon in a European game. They'll want to make sure they put in a big performance for that. And you know, if they could get an early goal, and I'm clinging to positivity here from an Atletico point of view, but if they could get an early goal, who knows? You know, the crowds, I've been told that you know, obviously it will be a sellout. They could have sold over, I think they had 100,000 applications for tickets just online for this game. So that tells you the appetite of the Atletico supporters, you know, despite this numerical disadvantage they have, hasn't diminished too much. So it will be an unbelievable atmosphere still at the stadium, and that may well inspire Atletico.
This is what former Spanish international Luis Garcia had to say when asked whether Atletico can turn this tie around.
Yeah, I think so. They say here, nunca dejes de creer. That is quite a sentence. It says, never stop believing. They always say it every game. And I think there's one of the teams here in Spain. We saw not long ago, we watched Barcelona with an amazing comeback. And Atletico is one of those teams that can do something very special in these kind of nights. Because they got the quality and the talent on the team, because they got a fantastic manager that knows very well how to hold the situation, and because they're going to have 45, 47, 50,000 people supporting them.
Luis Garcia speaking exclusively to Match Day Live earlier on this week. Former Atletico player and a UEFA Champions League winner with Liverpool. It was interesting seeing Antoine Griezmann this evening. He's posted a video, I don't know if he's made it home on his own laptop, of great comebacks. It features the New England Patriots Super Bowl from earlier on this year. There's LeBron James's Usain Bolt in there. There is a sense that Atletico believe, but I suppose, Adam, part of the problem will be stopping a Real Madrid side from scoring that has scored in the last 60 competitive games.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And you've got a player in Ronaldo who scored hat-tricks in the last 2 rounds. I mean, a guy who he delivers all the time, but to deliver on that sort of stage so regularly as he does, and it's so hard to stop. But yeah, I saw that video from Griezmann. Of course, Atleti's last win over Real Madrid back in February 2016, a league game at the Bernabeu. It was Griezmann who scored the goal. And I guess that, you know, people will be talking as well about another Atletico win. It wasn't that too long ago, actually, over Real Madrid. February 2015, they won 4-0 at the Vicente Calderon. Griezmann scored that day as well. And that might be another bit of hope that they'll cling to, that performance that day.
But so much focus on Cristiano Ronaldo, Adam, and quite rightly so, because he's been on great form in front of goal in recent UEFA Champions League rounds. But what about Isco? I mean, he made a huge difference when they played at the Calderon and Real Madrid won 3-0 in November. And, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat-trick in that. He played a similar role in the first leg. And it seems that he's almost like kryptonite for Atletico at the moment.
You know what? I've been so impressed in terms of the strength and depth that Real Madrid have shown. I think he's been a part of that. And the way that, yes, you know, at times he hasn't always been in the side, but he's forced his way back in there. And he's been fantastic when he's been involved. Without Bale, of course, he's out with a calf injury. And Isco is going to be really important again. And he, you know, can provide the bullets for which, you know, the likes of Benzema and Ronaldo can fire.
Despite the fact that Real Madrid are playing their local rivals, head coach Zinedine Zidane says his team are purely focused on reaching the final.
Nothing is won. We have to play the match. We have to perform excellently in order to reach the final, and we need to keep calm. We need to think of tomorrow as just a football match and nothing else. What I mean is, if we talk a lot about the match, it causes different problems. But in the end, this is just a football match. That's it.
Very chirpy Zinedine Zidane there, speaking ahead of the game, and he has good reason. His side are 3-0 up from the first leg. Adam, it was put to him in one of his pre-match press conferences, or perhaps the post-match press conferences from the 4-0 win at Granada at the weekend, that does the team have better balance when it's Isco and not Bale and more players in midfield? What do you think?
Well, they're both players who bring their own individual qualities, aren't they? And you could make a case for either. I think that Isco has impressed so many people with his performances of late, and where he's come from in terms of the squad dynamic as well, I think has been important. And I think that's been something that Zidane has been able to rely upon, isn't it? You know, he's been able to change his team so much in between the champions, UEFA Champions League ties recently, and bring players in like, you know, Alvaro Morata, James Rodriguez, who've been delivering when, you know, some of the other star players have come out. So that's been so impressive about Real Madrid as well for me. But I know something else that Zidane said just today as well that I thought was really clever was what he said, that they were talking about pressure. He said it's the club's history is something you can't shy away from. On the contrary, it actually helps them prepare for the big occasions. And I think that's something he personally has really brought to the table as head coach of Real Madrid. He gets that club big time.
When we talk about history, Adam, I guess the one real ray of hope for Atletico is the fact that it's at the Calderon, that it's getting towards the end of their final season there, that it's probably their last European match there, barring accidents. I mean, this is the one thing that could really make the difference and make it a special night.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a chance to potentially deliver. You might even argue if they could turn this around, it would be the greatest ever show that they could put on at the Vicente Calderon in potentially the final European game. It would be the perfect send-off for that famous atmospheric stadium. So, yeah, that is a big carrot to dangle in front of these Atletico players with another one close to it of a place in the UEFA Champions League final. So, yes, it's massively stacked against them in terms of the odds. There is no getting away from that, but they will give it a real good go.
Adam, I know you've seen a lot of Juventus this season covering Serie A as you do. I mean, regardless of who gets through between Real Madrid and Atletico from the game you'll be commentating on Wednesday, do you think Juventus will be favourites regardless who they face, or would it be Real Madrid should they prevail against Atleti?
I think it'd be incredibly tight to call that, but if it were Real Madrid and Juventus, almost impossible really to answer that question, because Juventus for me have looked the most balanced side in this season's competition. I've rarely seen a group of players so well united. I've rarely seen a group of players who look so well drilled and so well coached. There is a feeling that perhaps this is their time. You know, they've waited a long time for it as well, haven't they? So could Real Madrid become the first team ever to successfully defend the UEFA Champions League as well? That's another thing to throw into the equation. I probably would just side, and I'm saying just, with Juventus, but it's very close.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. UEFA.com's Adam Summerton. He will be our commentator for Atletico against Real Madrid in the UEFA Champions League semi-final second leg on Wednesday evening. You can join us from 19:30 CET. Alongside me, Rob Daly, Andy Brassel and John Bradley.
are still here. I'll put the same question to you, gents, as well, that I put to Adam there, that regardless of who goes through, do you think Juventus would be favourites in the final, or if Real Madrid get through, are they the bookies' favourites, if you like?
It's so hard to call. Maybe Juventus are slight favourites, but...
Not much. Yeah. Not much, in it.
I think you just look at Real Madrid's pedigree in recent seasons in the UEFA Champions League. I would back them to edge it.
Every 7 years, an Italian team wins it, don't they? And it's 7 years since they last won it. So,
did Chas and Dave write a song about that?
So, yes, so there you go. Juventus, it's their year. I think that Real Madrid will always be favourites if they're in the final. But I think that those of us that have watched Juventus a lot would certainly make it an equal game.
OK, John, we've had some reaction from tonight's result. Juve with that 2-1 win on the night against Monaco.
Yeah, the players have been going through the flash interview area. Radamel Falcao says, and he sums it up pretty well, they played really well and they took their chances. We weren't clinical enough when we had the opportunities. We fought hard all season for Monaco and for French football, and we hope we'll be better next season. And Gigi Buffon is elated, he's ecstatic. He said it was incredibly tough, even with a 2-0 lead from the first leg. If we'd gone out thinking we were through, it could have been very, very different. Now we've made it to Cardiff. I can't say that was our aim, because just getting to the final means nothing. You want to win it too. I'm really happy. I'm in good shape. We've got a great team, and my teammates have been fantastic. It's down to them that we've made it to the final. Everyone thought the last time was the last time that would be my last final. I admit it. It just goes to show that if you work hard enough, your dreams can come true.
Lovely sentiment there from Gigi Buffon. A quick thing on Allegri. Does he know his best 11, or does it always depend on who they're playing?
No, I think he knows his best 11. It's been pretty clear for the last couple of months. And, Mario Mandzukic showed tonight that he's right to be in it.
OK, let's get man of the matches. And why? We'll start with you, John.
I think it's really tough tonight, but Dani Alves' goal and another assist will just about have it, even though he was pretty quiet and restrained in the second half, but just for the finish, for the goal.
OK, so Dani Alves. I think I'd have to go with Dani Alves as well.
Chiellini for keeping it locked down at home. And those two clearances in the first half, absolutely otherworldly.
He always has to throw a curveball.
All right, Russell. Andy, but all right, for Wimbledon, right, you're Wimbledon manager. Who would you take, Buffon, Bonucci or Chiellini? You can take one of those three.
Buffon.
Nailed on.
Because we've never had a truly great goalkeeper, and he will last forever.
I'll go back to the 90s and find some names. I'm sure there's one in there. Andy, thank you very much indeed. And John Bradley, thank you very much as well for your company on the show. Well, that does bring us to the end of tonight's UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. The Italian giants, the Italian champions, Juventus, have put their place and their ticket to Cardiff, overturning an exciting and determined Monaco side. But which Madrid side will join them in the Welsh capital? You can join us again from 19:30 Central European time on Wednesday night for our second semi-final decider in the UEFA Champions League, and what is sure to be another enthralling encounter between the Spanish heavyweights and rivals Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid at the Calderon. Until then, from Andy Brassel, John Bradley, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Out to the right-hand side, the ball goes to Dani Alves. There's the cross, wonderful header, follow-up, Mario Mandzukic, denied at the first attempt, not at the second. It's a third goal of the tie for Juventus. They could be on their way to Cardiff now. More defending to do as the corner comes in, and Subasic comes and gets it away. It comes to Dani Alves! Oh, it's absolutely magnificent! 25 metres on the volley, and he has crashed it into the back of the net. It's resilient from Dani Alves. Bernardo Silva, Moutinho, man pulls off deep, ball goes across goal, and Monaco have a goal back, and Kylian Mbappe has scored again in this extraordinary first season of UEFA Champions League football for the teenager. And Juventus are in the UEFA Champions League final. The finalists of 2015, the runners-up of 2015, will have a chance to put that right in 2017 in Cardiff, because it's finished Juventus 2, Monaco 1. Juventus win 4-1 on aggregate.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.